We're going to start Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin. Just to set the scene of what the Navi, the Prophet Yeshayo, is talking about. He's talking about the situation within Israel, where there is the beginnings of an attempt at a civil war, where for many years already, Israel has been a divided country between the northern kingdom, which comprised most of Israel, and then you had the kingdom which is called Yehuda, which was Yehuda, Binyamin, and others, and included the Beis HaMikdash, and they were under the control of kings that were from the lineage of David HaMelech, and they were predominantly, they were people that kept predominantly, most of the time, not all the time, but predominantly they were people that kept the religion. The northern kingdom was a different story, and that northern kingdom was the kings of the northern kingdom were not from the lineage of David HaMelech. They came from Manasseh, Ephraim, and from others. And they were mostly, there was a tremendous amount of idol worshiping in the northern kingdom. At this point in our story, the northern kingdom has aligned itself. The king of the northern kingdom of the Jews was a person by the name of Pekach. And Pekach had aligned himself with the king of Aram, which is relatively, I guess, Syria. Syria and in that area. And his name was Ritzin. And the king of the king in the part of Yehuda, and they were now go, this Pekach and Ritzin from Aram were going to invade the kingdom of Yehuda. They wanted to invade the kingdom of Yehuda and have one kingdom under their control. So the kingdom of Yehuda had sent, and they went ahead and they aligned themselves with Assyria. And Assyria, at this point, had gone and had wiped out the forces of Aram. So Yehuda was banking, just get another. Yehuda was hoping that the people of Aram would come to their aid. They had made a truce and an alliance with them, but in fact, the Assyria had gone ahead and destroyed the forces of Aram. So this is a situation where Yeshayahu is now going to talk and to prophesize. And he says as follows, Dovar, which means this is a prophecy, Sholach Hashem B'Yakov. Hashem has sent a prophecy against the people of Jacob, the Nofal B'Yisrael, and it was fallen in Israel. Which means as follows, that Yeshayahu prophesies that this was going to happen, that this was the prophecy from God, that the people of Yisrael were not going to be successful. Meaning that the people in Yehuda, which was a small area, were very worried about this incoming incursion from the people of Yisrael. And they were very worried that the forces and the armies of Yisrael were going to overwhelm the people of Yehuda. But the prophet had said, it's not going to happen. You're going to see it's not going to happen, even though it doesn't look good right now. It looks terrible right now. But I promise you it's never going to happen. And that's the Dovar, that Sholach Hashem B'Yakov. That's the Dovar, the word that Hashem sent against the people of Jacob and Nafal B'Yisrael, and it was fulfilled with the people of Yisrael, that they were told that that was going to happen. The Pasuk also stands as a testament and a monument to the fact that these people, the Yisrael, were wiped out by enemy forces. The northern kingdom was invaded by enemy forces, by Assyria. They were going to be invaded by Assyria, and Assyria was going to go ahead and exile them. So they should know the reason why it was happening. You know, when we had Nevi'im, when we had prophets, the prophet would get up and they would say, this and this is what you did wrong, and this is the consequence of what's going to happen because unless you go ahead and you do better. It was a very simple life at that time. We don't have that. We don't understand current events. We don't know why things are happening to Jewish people or why are things happening in the world. But they knew. Of course, there was a davar that was Shalach Hashem B'Yakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said a prophecy. And v'nafal b'Yisrael, and it was fulfilled in Yisrael. And they knew that as a consequence of their averus, a consequence of their bad actions, is why all of this happened. The Malbim says an interesting thing. The Malbim says that the world at that time believed in something which he calls, he writes it in Hebrew, but it's an English word, they believed in oracles. They believed in oracles. It's not a computer company. No. Not a software company.
No, it's not.
They believed in what's called an oracle. An oracle could be either a prophet, but an oracle originally did not mean a prophet. An oracle was like a saying. I don't know exactly how to...
Soothsayer?
No, not a person. But an oracle was like a mima.
Beware the eyes of March.
It was exactly. It was some kind of a sentence, some kind of a nevuah that they believed in. They believed in certain things happening, and it was an oracle meant that they had this as a kabbalah. It was a tradition in their world. In their world, the tradition in the Jewish people's world and the people of the Northern Kingdom was that they were going to be successful. And they had this oracle. That was the davar, he says. That's what the word davar means, a word, or a sentence, or a saying. And there was a davar, Shalach Hashem B'Yisrael. And the people had this thing, this Kabbalah, this tradition, that they believed that everything was going to be fine, and no matter what they did, they were going to be successful. But here they found out, the V'nafal B'Yisrael, they found out that everything went south, and everything they got, and their lands ended up to be destroyed. The Gemara in Chulin tells us a fascinating Gemara in Chulin, which seemingly takes these words totally out of context. And the Gemara in Chulin says, Dovar Sholach B'Yakov. God sent something that happened to Yaakov. And as a consequence of what happened to Yaakov, the Nafal B'Yisrael, it became something that all the Jews had to keep. What is that? So the Gemara says that's the mitzvah of Gid Hanasha. You know what the Gid Hanasha mitzvah is? Gid Hanasha is, that's the reason why Jews can't eat filet mignon.
Well, you could technically.
Technically you could. We don't eat it here in the Israel. Maybe they do, Sephardim do. But there's a sinew, a nerve that runs down the back, when Yaakov Avinu was fighting with the Malach of Esav, the Malach came, and the Malach was trying to beat Yaakov Avinu, and the Malach couldn't beat Yaakov Avinu, but he was able to maim him. And he went ahead and he pulled the nerve, he pulled the sciatica nerve, and he left there and he was limping for a while. Not forever, but for a while, he was limping until he became healed. And then over there, the pasuk says, Al-Kain lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael es gid hanasha. Because of this story of Yaakov Avinu being maimed and being hurt in the sciatica nerve, because of that, the Jewish people don't eat the Gid Hanasha. So, the Gemara Chulin says, this is this pasuk. Because Dovar Sholach B'Yakov. Something was sent in Yaakov, V'nafal B'Yisrael. And it fell means that somehow it spread out and it became something that all the Jews kept. So, what does that have to do with this story here? What does that have to do with the pasuk? Where's it all coming in? So Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch, brilliantly. Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch brilliantly discusses first this mitzvah of Gid Hanasha. And when you first hear about the mitzvah, it seems that why don't we eat the Gid Hanasha? What's the reason not to eat the Gid Hanasha? The reason not to get an usha is because by not eating it, somehow we remember the story that happened to Yaakov Avinu, that he was fighting with a malach and he got maimed and he got hurt, and we remember that story. So, but why do we have to remember that story? Why is that story so important? There are many stories that happen in the Torah. Why is that story so important that we memorialize that story by not eating the Gid HaNosha? So he says it's not an anatomical mitzvah. It's not an anatomical mitzvah. Because what happened was, is that Yaakov, what happened to Yaakov Avinu? The Sarei Shel Esav, the nemesis of Esav, was able to maim Yaakov Avinu. He was able to wound him. He was able to subdue him to a degree. He was able, that Yaakov Avinu thought he was so strong, and he was able to show him that you're not so strong. He was able to go ahead and be machnia him. He was able to go ahead and somehow or another show him that he wasn't as strong as he thought he would be. But he wasn't able to completely destroy him. And he says, the Gid HaNosha stands for us throughout history, that Yaakov Avinu represents the Jewish people, that the Jewish people throughout history will always be fighting the non-Jewish world. And there'll be times when the non-Jewish world will be able to go ahead and hurt the Jewish people. They're going to wound them. They're not going to incapacitate them. They'll never, ever be able to incapacitate them. They'll be able to wound them. And sometimes the wounds will be terrible wounds. They'll be limping around for a while. But eventually, they're going to get up. And that's what happened with Yaakov Avinu. So the Gid HaNosha is a historical moment in the Jewish people's life. And that's why it's here. Because here you have a situation where the Jewish people are going to be exiled. Assyria is going to come and exile most of the Jewish people. 100, 200 years later, the rest of the Jewish people are going to be exiled. So they want to tell them something. Yes, you're going to be exiled. And it's going to be terrible. But don't look at it as the end of the Jewish people. We could never look at any tragedy. People didn't look at the Holocaust as the end of the Jewish world. There were people that gave up their Yiddishkeit, and I have no problem with what they did. I wasn't there. I can't tell you what I would have done. But there were plenty of people that said that even though there was a Holocaust, we were maimed. Look how we were maimed. Look how much was taken away from the Jewish people, financially, socially, geographically, and in terms of scholarship, the amount of scholarship that was lost. The Jewish people were maimed, but they weren't destroyed. So this is concept of the Gid HaNosha stands as a testimony, not that we don't eat the Gid HaNosha, not because we want to remember what happened to Yaakov Avinu. We don't eat the Gid HaNosha because that is our history. That is what's important for us, is to realize that we'll get maimed and we'll be hinking around, we'll be hopping around a little bit, we won't be able to walk around, but eventually we're going to be okay. And that's why this pasuk is here in this part. Because in this part is where the Jewish people are beginning to go on their exile. They're beginning to go on their exile. And what's going to happen is they're going to get hurt. They're going to get hurt, but they're not going to get completely destroyed. The Jewish people, as they went into exile, had to go into exile with that belief. We left, but we're coming back. We left for now, but eventually we were coming back. And in this time, you know, it took them, they came back after 70 years to build the second temple. And then after 70 years, they were exiled again. And it took thousands of years for the Jewish people to come back again. And they came, but we're living that dream. For thousands of years, people didn't need Gid HaNosha with the dream that we're only going to be maimed and we'll once again be successful. And they were never able to see that dream. But we, Baruch Hashem, are fortunate to be able to see that dream coming true. Pasiches. V'yodu ha'am kulay. That the entire people are going to know Ephraim. He calls the whole northern kingdom after the name of Ephraim. Ephraim was the son of Yosef and the first king of the northern kingdom was Yerovim ben Nevat from Ephraim. So he calls them just in the name of Ephraim, the Yoshvei Shomrom. And the people that lived in Shomrom, Shomrom was the capital city of the Northern Kingdom, Begaiva Ubegoivel Goidel Levov Lamar. That those people that they understand the fallacy. Now they know about the fallacy of the of what they spoke about. That they spoke about a Begaiva, they spoke about it with haughtiness, Ubegoidel Levov, and with a tremendous amount of arrogance. So Gaiva is less than Goidel Levov. There's a person can speak out of haughtiness. I'm feeling very haughty and I speak. But Goidel Levov is an arrogance. And the Malbim says that when you speak with Gaiva, there are times when you know you're wrong. A person can be haughty and can say something even though he knows he's wrong. A person who has Goidel Levov, which means arrogance, he said when he speaks, he's 100% in his mind, he's 100% correct. And they said as follows, what's the big deal? What do you think is going to happen here? What do you think that's going to happen here? You think they're going to take us and they're going to exile us? It's not a problem. It's like Levenim Noflu. It's like bricks have fallen, Vigozis Nivna. And we'll take stones and we're going to rebuild it. You know, this is not just, don't look at this as destruction, they said. This is only temporary. Eventually we're going to get back. Levonim Naflu. That the stones, the bricks have fallen. Vigozis Nivna. And we're going to have stones, we're going to rebuild. Shekomim Gudo. Trees were cut down. Varozim Nachlif. And we're going to replace those trees with cedars of Lebanon. So basically, they were saying in their minds that the fact that Aram was destroyed, and it's not a big deal. We're still here. We're still going to be able to survive. The Jewish people still kept on, even when they saw that their ally had been destroyed, they still kept on and said that, you know what, we'll be able to get through this. It's nothing. It's like, you know, like you cut down a tree and cut down a regular tree and you plant a cedar tree in its place. It's no big deal. We're gonna eventually go ahead and be successful again. And another idea that they're saying here is that when we started, we talked about that the people had to believe that God wanted them to believe that all this was happening because of God. So here they use the term Levonim Noflu. Noflu means like almost like it's normal. And they were still believing that all this that was happening had nothing to do with God. It was all normal. Vayisagev Hashem Esori Ritzinalov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthened the adversaries of Ritzin. Ritzin was their ally. Ves Oivov, and their enemies, Yisachseich, he incited. That he incited the enemies of Aram. The Jewish people were counting on Aram to help them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the enemies of Aram strong. And the enemies of Aram went ahead and destroyed them. Aram Mikedem. Aram came from the east, Plishtim Me'ochar, the Philistines from the west, Vayoklu Es Yisrael, and they devoured the nation of Israel, B'chol Peh, with every mouth, B'chol Zois Leishov Apoy. And even after all of this, even after Ritzin was destroyed, and all this was happening, the Jewish people, Leishov Apoy, his anger wasn't turned away. V'oid yoda in the tuya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is still stretched out. V'om loyshav, and the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't relent is because the Jewish nation loyshav, they didn't do any tshuva. Ad hamakehu, and has not returned to the one who ad hamakehu. Om loyshav ad makehu, the people should have returned to the people that hit them. V'sashem tzevoko is lo deroshu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they did not look to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the people went, V'om le'shov ad makehu, they should have went to see who's hitting them. They should have seen who's hitting them. And, you know, it's it's always that we have, you know, the people, you have to see the bigger picture. Here you have the people of Yisrael had depended on the forces of Aram to help them, and now the forces of Aram were being destroyed, and the Jewish people should have said, who destroyed the people of Aram? It must have been God. Instead, they took a look at the picture by itself and said, you know what, they got destroyed, but we'll be able to go ahead and see what we have to do. The Bali Musa give a mushal always. There's a mushal always given by the Bali Musa that if a person goes ahead and takes a stick and he throws a stick at a dog and he hurts the dog, the dog gets hurt by the stick. The dog, who is the dog going to attack? The dog is going to attack the stick. The dog doesn't have enough seichel to attack the person that threw the stick. The dog's going to go ahead and is going to attack the stick for hitting it. And very often that we act in the same way. And very often we act that when we get hit, when things happen to us, that we don't look to see why it happened. Who sent the stick? Why did this and this happen to me? Did it happen to me because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it happen to me? Did I do something wrong? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to wake me up? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to tell me something? That instead of going ahead and saying, look what happened to me, and I'm terrible, I can't do this now, I can't do that now, look what happened to me, a person's supposed to say, where did it come from? And when you look at where it comes from, it's a whole different thing. And that's what it says here, V'om le'shov ad hamakehu. The people didn't turn back to the person that was hitting it. Who was the reason why they were getting hit? Bez Hashem tzivokos le'darashu. They didn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand behind all this. And not seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand behind all of these tragedies only makes it worse for them and makes it much harder. Vayachres Hashem Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he cut off from Yisrael Roish Vizonov. He cut off from them a head and a tail. Kippa Vaagmoin Yom Echad. Large arch and a small arch in one day. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu went ahead and cut everybody off. And the next pasuk explains, it talks about a roish and a zonov, a head and a tail. It says, Zokon, who's a zokain? Who's the elder? Zokain unesu ponim. The elder is a person, is a man of esteem, is a ruler. Hu haroish. He is the head of the community. V'novi moire sheker. And a misleading prophet, he calls the tail. So the Jewish people were running after the head and the tail. When you go forward, you're going forward and you are following the head. When you're going backwards, you're following what? Tail. You're following the tail. And they had two different types of leaders. There was the Roish and the Suponim. They had the head and the esteemed person. And then they had the Zonov, they had the tail, which he calls the false prophets, the people that were prophesizing in God's name, but they were prophesizing in God's name improperly. Pasuk Tezvot. Vayihiyu ma'ashrei ha'om hazeh. The leaders, now he's telling the people that the reason why you're having all these problems is because your leaders have misled you. That your leaders have misled you by telling you things that they shouldn't have told you. Vayihiyu ma'ashrei ha'om hazeh. And the leaders were misleading the people, matim umusharav muvuloyim, and those led them, and they led them, and they were misled. That they went ahead and they were telling the people to do things that they shouldn't be doing. Al Kain, therefore, al bachurav lo yismach Hashem. And this is a common thread in Tanakh, that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and decides that he has to punish the Jewish people, and even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Jewish people for doing terrible, terrible sins, like Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, Gili Arayas, even if it's murdering, being punished for being murderous, even if they're being punished because of being idol worshippers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bothered, and it hurts him when he has to hurt the Jewish people. that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hurting the worst of the worst in the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still has a tremendous pain when he goes ahead and hurts the Jewish people. Al Kain, it says, Al Bachurav, for what is going to be done to the youth, Lo Yismach Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be happy. Ves Yisoymav, what he's going to have to do to the orphans, Ves Al Menoysav, and do to the widows, Lo Yirachem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to have any compassion. And the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to have compassion on them is Ki Kuloi Chonav Umeirai. Because they're all hypocrites and they're all bad. And every mouth speaks obscene language. And despite all this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger has not turned away, and his hand is still stretched out. So the Gemara in Shabbos talks about, there's a part of this pasuk here is v'chol peh doiver nevola, that every mouth speaks with obscene language. And the Gemara says, talks about using obscene language. You know, today, unfortunately, obscene language has become part of our vernacular, very much part of our vernacular, even among, you know, even among what we would call chashuva people, even among the high echelons of society, or presidents, or I don't know, presidents, but definitely in the high,
behind closed doors.
Behind closed doors, for sure. But we have all these tapes today from expletives deleted, you know. But the concept of divrei nevola, of obscene language, is something that's terrible. And the Gemara Shabbos says, "Bo'oven nivlois peh, tzores rabbis." Terrible things happen to people because of the sin of obscene language. Ugzeres koshos mitzchachos, and he says, and he brings this pasuk, and young people and orphans and widows can die because of it. And he brings this pasuk that's here, that Al Kain, it says here, Lo Yismach Hashem, as Al Menoy Yerachim, Ki Kulei Chonaf Umeire V'chol Peh, Doiva Nevola. That one of the reasons why all the bad things happen to them, V'oid Yodei Netuya, and this hand is still stretched out, and all because of the obscene language that people spoke about. There's an interesting Gemara, where the Gemara says, as follows. It's just a cute Gemara. The Gemara says that Hakol Yoidim Loma Kala Nichnas Alachupa. Everybody knows why young people want to get married, or what they're looking for. But anyone that goes ahead, a Menabo Piv, but anyone that verbalizes and says that, you know, what do you think they're getting married for? They're not even using foul language. So nivul peh doesn't only mean foul language. Nivul peh means just to speak obscenely. And everyone that speaks explicitly, as the Gemara says, kol menabel piv afilu chos melav gzar din shel 70 shana latova, even if he has a gzar din that for 70 years for good, chas v'sholom, hoifchim alo v'ra, it all turns to bad. The Gemara talks about the purity. No, we don't choose our words. We don't choose any of our words. And we just speak. That's just the nature of people today. Whatever, in Yiddish there's an expression, was zafen sing, zafen ling. You know, was zafen ling, zafen sing, I mean. And in Yiddish there's an expression, whatever's in your heart is on your tongue. You know, whatever we don't think for a second, and we don't choose words. You know, the I just got finished reading this book about the Lubavitcher Rebbe from Telushkin's book, and it's a magnificent book. But part of the book he speaks about the Rebbe's purity of language, his purity of language, and there were certain words he wouldn't use. He wouldn't use undertaker.
He would,
what?
Handicap.
Handicap. He would not use the word handicap. He wouldn't use the word. You read the book? There were certain words he just would not use. He wouldn't use those words. He was careful about the words that he used. So there's nivul pes, obscene language, and there's explicit language, but there's a certain thing about there's a certain purity of language. You know, I always tell the story that I once did a tahara with a bunch of Satmar guys when Glenn's father died. Glenn Schlesinger. So his father's brothers were all real Satmar. So they wanted the tahara in Williamsburg with the Satmar Chevra. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go, you know. So I was the only, you know, what they would call modern looking fellow there. The only guy, you know. And these were like seasoned Holocaust survivor, Chevra Kedisha guys, you know, really. And they looked at me like I didn't know what I was doing. I had done Chevra Kedisha for many years. And there's a certain particular thing about tying the bow at the end and how you tie the bow. And I happen to know how to do it well. And I was doing it in the head, and there's one guy, he's looking over my shoulder.
Just to make sure.
And it's looking like, and finally, I couldn't take anymore. So I said, in Yiddish, I said, Sigit, Sigit. It's good, it's good. And the head of the Chevra Kedisha stopped me, took his hand, and he said, Junger Mann, he says. He says, young man, by a tahara, zuk benish Sigit, mezuk says recht. Yeah. So by tahara, you don't say it's good.
It's right.
It's correct. That's a purity of language. It's a purity of language. Who would think in those terms? There's good and there's correct. And you don't use the word good when there's a dead body in front of you. It's not
nothing's good.
Nothing's good. It's not good. But it's correct. It's correct. You know, he stopped me. And it was stuck in my mind how... there are words that you can use, and then reading that book from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that he lived with that. There were certain words he just would never ever use because they're negative words, and that's what the Gemara here is talking about. The Gemara talks about the fact, and then you go to the other extreme is nivul peh. Nivul peh is demeaning to a person. You know, a person should have more self-respect for himself, and there's no conversation that your conversation sounds better when you use four-letter words or obscene language. It doesn't make your argument any better. It doesn't present your case any better. It doesn't make anything better except that it just feels better for the moment. But if you have a certain sense of self-respect for yourself, you don't use those words. And when you look in the Gemara talks about the Mesillas Yesharim and the Shaarei Teshuva and everyone else, it's considered to be that you are mechalal your seichel. You're taking your seichel, you're taking your intellect, and you're bringing it down. That your intellect is something holy, and your mouth is something holy. You're using your mouth to daven. How do you use your mouth to daven and then go ahead and use your mouth for all these terrible, terrible things that people would say? And that's what they're bringing down here, that through all the averas that the people did, what's being pointed out here, what's being out, you know, line, what's being shown here is the fact that they had nivul peh. Pasuk Zayin. Kibara ke'esh risha. For the wickedness, their wickedness, the bad, is burning like fire, and it's burning up shomer v'shayas, thorns and thistles, toichel does it consume, batitzas besichve hayar, and it kindled the thickets of the forest, v'yizavku geyus oshon, and they become entangled by the thickening smoke. So this rishis is talking about the bad that had permeated the Jewish people. And that bad that had permeated the Jewish people eventually got a life of its own. And it was just burning and burning and burning and burning everything up and wherever it came. Be'evras Hashem Tzavokos, but the anger of God, Netam Eretz, the smoke, Netam Eretz, Ve'hi'om, Netam Eretz means the smoke has reached the earth, Ve'hi'om, K'macholas Eish, and the people have become like a conflagration of fire, Ish El Ochiv, Lo'yachmoilu, no one had pity for his fellow man. So it became such a terrible state of affairs that nobody anymore cared for each other. Vayigzar al-Yamin, Vayigzar al-Yamin v'ro'av, And he snatched, the people were snatching all over. The people were so crazy. The people were so bad, they were snatching from the right. But Yigzal Yamin Varav, and they were still hungry. But Yoichal Al Smoil, they ate from the left, for Loy Sofu, they didn't get full. Ish Vesaz Roy Yechelu, each one was eating the flesh of their arms. It doesn't mean necessarily that they were eating each other. It doesn't mean that they were eating, they were cannibals, but basically they were destroying each other. That the Benodom
Lachaber did actually do that also.
That was at one time when there was a tremendous amount of hunger. That wasn't in this time. That was much, much later. And by the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, correct? There was such a time. That's not what he's talking about here. That over here is each person eating his friend. It does not mean physically eating him, but means physically destroying him. And when it was man against man, and person against person, that's destroying each other. Menashe as Ephraim. Menashe was killing Ephraim. Ephraim as a Menashe Yachtov Hema al Yehuda. And eventually they united against Yehuda, B'chol Zois, Leishov Apoi, V'oid Yoda in the Tuya, and the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still outstretched.